Tell Me What to Read is recorded on the lands of the Wangal people, and we pay our respects to all elders past and present, and extend our welcome to any First Nations people listening today. This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm your host, Nick Vasiliev, and welcome to the show where we chat about the next great books you should be reading with the authors behind them and familiar faces who read them. All books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au, and the links can be found in the description.
This is Tell Me What to Read, powered by Booktopia. I'm Ben Hunter, and I'm here today to chat about the best books of the year, 2022. Joining me today are my colleagues, Shani Prasad and Amy Evans. It's so good to have you both. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's dive in. There's no better way to do this than to kind of break it down by kind of overarching category group. So let's start with the funnest and most joyous in my books anyway, books, and that would be the kids' books. Amy, do you want to kick us off? Best of 22. No pressure.
I managed to narrow it down to three. And my pick for best YA of the year is definitely Unnecessary Drama by Nina Kenwood. It's a feel-good romance about the first messy, chaotic steps into adulthood. It follows an 18-year-old woman as she moves into a share house in Melbourne. It's by far the most adorable book I read this year. It made me actually laugh out loud, which, let's be honest, never happens. And it definitely was an office favourite. A lot of us read it and a lot of us loved it. So it definitely takes the cake for me.
I read it and I absolutely loved it. It's definitely my favourite YA book that I have read this year. I'm actually looking forward over Christmas break to reading it again. It is so delightful. And if you haven't read her Nina Kenwood's other books, I would highly recommend those as well. But this one just had every element, was just spot on and so charming and delightful.
Yeah, this is her best and the best of the year, I think. Moving on to some kids' books, kids' picture books in general, my best of the year is Back on Country by Adam Goods and Ellie Lang. It is the third book in their Welcome to Country series, and it's a joyful story about the power of reconnecting to family, culture, and country. The whole series is aimed at helping families with little kids talk about First Nations history in a really accessible way. It's informative, but it's also just adorable and wonderful. And if you are quick, from the recording of this podcast, we still have some signed copies available by both Adam and Ellie. So getting quick.
I love Goodsy. It's a good Goodsy pick.
Goodsy is great.
He's my hero.
Goodsy is a good pick. Goodsy's good. And last but not least, in kids nonfiction, best of the year goes to Brickman's Big Book of Better Bills by Brickman. When it comes to nonfiction, you really can't go past Brickman. This is his third book, and it contains all the skills you need to know to become a Lego master. Of course, if you've ever watched the show, you'll know Lego is a massive phenomenon right now, and he's the expert on the subject. There is nobody else. It's not just a book about connecting Brick A to Brick B, but he teaches kids how to draw up a plan, execute it, all while telling a story with your ideas. And again, if you are quick, we do still have signed copies available.
I still can't get over that fantastic anecdote of when he signed the books, he wanted to pack the books into boxes and tell us how to shape the boxes into piles.
Yeah, because you know what?
He's Brickman.
That's my most unfavorite thing to do. So I'm like going to invite him to every single signing I have and be like, show me your genius, please.
He's the expert. He's the only one I'll listen to on how to stack boxes in our warehouse.
Thank you, Brickman. And thank you, Amy. And Amy, ever since you uttered the words, Nina Kenwood takes the cake, Shanu, I've been feeling this absence of lunch in my belly. So can you talk to me about your favorite cooking books of 2022?
Cooking books. Do you do a lot of cooking, Ben? A lot of cooking out of the cooking books?
Cooking books, yeah. So that's what you refer to them as?
Cookbooks, I mean, cooking sure, books? Why not? Let's go with that. Can I just tell you, this year has had so many good cookbooks. Like, I had no problems at all filling our Christmas gift guide with two pages of cookbooks. And I actually had enough cookbooks that I probably could have very easily filled another two pages. That is how many good cookbooks we've had come out this year. Even though people can go out to restaurants again now, which is great and you definitely should, you can also still cook at home. What I found, though, that a thing that particularly, and I think it's been a trend that's been coming and it's really brought to the fore this year, is that cookbooks now are not just about the recipes, right? Recipes are great. But you know what else has recipes? The internet.
Yeah.
What the cookbooks have is beautiful personal stories, and each of the cookbooks that I've chosen for sort of the best of 2022, that's really been at the heart and the core of why they've written the book. When I've spoken to so many cookbook authors this year, and I've asked them, you know, what is this book? Why this book? And it's first-time cookbook authors that have people that have written multiple cookbooks, they've all sort of said, you know, I've come back to what is important and true to me and why I love food and what food means to me. For example, I think one of my favourite cookbooks this year has been by a Booktopia favourite and multi-award-winning cookbook author, Henny McKinnon. And the book that she's done this year, Tender Heart, is, I mean, just the name itself, you know, it's so it's so personal. It's basically inspired by her father, and who was like a fruit and veg seller.
Market gardener?
Well, he was the one that sold the produce that came from the market gardeners. And so she's picked her most personal and sort of the vegetables that mean the most to her. So not necessarily the most popular, not necessarily the most necessarily accessible to you know, every person, but ones that just have memories to for her and sort of how they cooked at home. And she's translated them into the most beautiful veg-friendly recipes you'll ever see. And it's so great because the kind of cookbook that I think people really appreciate is one that gives you something a little bit familiar, but also gives you something that you didn't even know that you wanted. And this certainly did that. The other cookbook that I really want to, like, highlight is apparently, and who would have thought, how could it be possible that until this year we had never had a cookbook on croissants? It's all croissants. And I think that's why the cookbook Loon by Kate Reid, who arguably has the sexiest bakery in town, not our town yet, but Sydney is coming, but in Melbourne and Brisbane, has just become more popular and more popular. And her book kind of really gives me the same feel as I got when I looked at Josh Nyland's book, which was like kind of a game-changing book on fish and what you do with fish. Because croissants, people go, oh, yeah, croissants. But the science and the difficulty in making a good croissant.
It's so hard to do well.
Even in the beginning of the book, she's explained how she had to even change her recipe. That it's not so what you're going to make if you're going to make croissants from this book is a croissant that you can make at home, which is different from the croissant that you'll buy at Loon, but still equally delicious. And if you feel that maybe croissant making is a little bit too far for you, that's okay, because in this book there are so many delicious fillings that you can make that go with croissants.
Yeah, at her signing, I remember her saying you don't even have to make croissants, even if you want to buy them and use some of these fillings or topping recipes.
Like, yep.
She'd be happy.
100%.
Just to help people with that.
100%. Plus, it is the most beautiful book. And so if you don't just put this on your coffee table, then
both of those books you called out, the photography is just
it's exquisite.
And Loon as a it's just a object of desire is beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell me about biographies, tell me about other nonfiction as well, history, what's tickled your fancy this year?
Well, I have to say again, biographies, what a flipping blockbuster year.
Yeah, so many celebrities.
So many. Pretty much name me a person, they've got a biography. I think that the year really started at a high when I think a book that people have been looking forward to and been waiting for a really long time was Hannah Gadsby's 10 Steps to Danette.
Yeah.
And it really delivered. It was really personal. It was a journey. It took you behind the scenes to sort of see how this best-selling show came about. And, you know, how personal it was to her, what the reaction was to it afterwards. So it was amazing and totally worth the wait. If anyone knows like me, I've been waiting for this book for a couple of years and I was very happy when it came out at the beginning of the year. Then I think the book that I think surprised me the most in biographies, the one that I wasn't necessarily, I was like, I knew it would be excellent and I knew it would be good, but I didn't realise it would be so personal and so moving and would create so many conversations, was a book that was actually one of our Book of the Months earlier this year, which was Eddie Betts's The Boy from Boomerang Crescent. And he had he was firstly the absolute nicest person, did a great signing for us, which we really appreciated him coming in to do. Unfortunately, all those signed copies are gone, but there are still copies available now of the book. And he just really changed that conversation. You know, you don't have that many books where the AFL actually comes out and says, okay, I've read your book and now we're going to change what we do and how we and you know how we move forward. So I think that's like that's super impressive.
Yeah, Bio is one of my favorite books to read. Yeah. And his was one of the best I've ever read.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then the last one I'm just going to quickly mention is a book that again a lot of people have been waiting for, and a lot of people were not going to be sure about, you know, whether what the book was going to be, and that was Grace Tame's autobiography, The Ninth Life of a Diamond Miner. I think a lot of people were worried it was going to be like this, you know, polemic of anger and, you know, and heartbreak and all this kind of stuff. But I think people were really surprised by how, I mean, I think, and I don't know why, because if you've seen Grace Tame in person, you'll see what an impressive and an amazing person she is. And she basically transformed that into a book that wasn't a depressing read. It wasn't, you know, challenging in a bad way. It was challenging in a good way. And certainly who knew that she was such a great artist as well, because she drew that cover, and I thought that was amazing and I loved it. So biographies this year, they're just three, but there are so many I can't even mention, but I won't mention anymore because I have to also talk about nonfiction. So nonfiction.
Great segue to yourself. Yeah. I love that.
Because I got to look after so many books for the second half of this year it was fantastic. Some of the books I'm going to talk about are ones that I might be a little bit biased about because I got to meet the authors of these books as well.
Naturally.
And the first one is Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention by Johan Hari. This book really made a splash at the beginning of the year, and it is still splashing away now. People are still finding this book, sharing this book. It really tapped into, I think, something in people. And what was fantastic, I think the best part about this book was that Johan Hari is not coming at the problem from a sort of a dispassionate outsider kind of way and telling you all the things you're doing wrong. He's like saying, I am also this person. Let's explore together why we can't focus and what can we do about it. Then the next book I'm going to talk about, I read from cover to cover. I laughed so much. I got to do a great podcast, I don't know if the podcast was great, but the person I got to podcast with was great, and that was Eliza Riley's book, Sheilas, where she talks about women in history, Australian women in history, that have just not gotten the attention they deserve. And I highly recommend the book and also the YouTube videos that she had made previous to writing the book with her sister. They are hilarious and so brilliant, and I can't wait for hopefully a second book with even more fantastic Sheilas. And then the last book I'm going to sneak in probably one more after this, but the last book that I'll talk about in detail is Indira Naidoo's The Space Between the Stars.
Oh yeah,
this was another one of those books where you can't, how do you classify it, you know? It's a personal story, and it was so moving, but it was also so inspirational, and it was so wonderful to sort of be able to journey along with Indira as she you know, experiences this grief in her life, but experiences the wonder and the amazing ways that nature can heal us. Actually, one of the people that she explores nature with wrote one of our other amazing books in another category, which I'll talk about in a minute when I put that hat on. The last book I just want to mention, for the fact that it is just absolutely the best book that is also selling the best, which is Not Now, Not Ever, which is basically edited by Julia Gillard. It's 10 years on from that infamous misogynist speech. And this book really brings together a lot of like badass Australian women talking about their memories of that speech, the memories of the time, what has changed, what hasn't changed in the 10 years since. And I just think it's such an important book, and I'm so glad to see that it's selling as well as it is, and I hope that it keeps on selling, and I hope that it makes it onto the curriculum for everyone to be reading in the future as well.
And brilliant books, and some brilliant minds behind those as well.
Absolutely.
Well done. That's a great range. I'm going to throw to myself now. I'm going to come back to you. But I am going to throw myself out selfishly and talk about fiction. Starting with international fiction, it's been a brilliant, brilliant year for amazing names who have books that you know and love coming back with excellent new books. Cormac McCarthy has two books after so many years, you know, just a seminal name in American fiction. And there's two brand new books. Go out and get them now. Jennifer Egan, I cannot go past. This is probably one of the most impactful books on me this year. It's called The Candy House, and it's a sibling novel to A Visit from the Goon Squad. Read both books, but you can also just read one. This book will just blow your mind. It is totally about our culture and our moment and our future. And it's, poof, wow. Maggie O'Farrell, the author of Hamnet, has another brilliant, brilliant, brilliant historical fiction called The Marriage Portrait. Taylor Jenkins Reid, author of Malibu Rising, a host of other best blockbuster bestsellers, has a new book called Carrie Soto is Back. Big names, international fiction. Crime and thriller, again, like is another kind of sphere of big names, but also some interesting new entries. So yes, we have Jane Harvey. This is just like the most best-selling book of the year, Exiles. It's brilliant. It brings back Aaron Falk, who's the detective character from The Dry. Know it, love it, go read it. I would also call out Chris Hammer. The Tilt is like, he just gets better and better, and I don't know how he does it, but his books are just gorgeous, like just so good. Australian fiction, Australian crime fiction, gritty, you know, very crime noir, but brilliant, so entertaining. Just go read them. Shelley Burr is one of the new ones. She wrote a book which is Wake, all caps, one word, and if you read the book, you find out why. And
so it's captivating. Super engaging.
Yeah, just your rural Australian crime. It's like so busy with publishing at the moment, but she's brought something completely new to it, and it's
like going back to the past, the recent past, but still.
I like that. Well said. And another other doing it too is Hayley Scrivener with this breakout novel Dirt Town, which just has the voice of children, which are just often like at the heart of tragic crime cases, but never really given voice in these novels. But she gives children like voice.
An Australian Greek chorus almost.
Yeah, it's totally.
Such an unusual device.
Yeah, and she makes it work in a totally pacey crime thriller, and it's genius, and I can't wait for more from her. And Benjamin Stevenson is an author who's had a few really gritty psychological reads and before this, and now he's written a book which is very silly, and it's called Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, and it's bonkers, and it's like so self-referential and meta, and it's just thoroughly entertaining, particularly for fans of like the genre of crime,
which is me. I loved it so much.
Me too. Then in Australian fiction, there's just been like an incredible range of books published this year, and some books that'll like stay with me for a long time. I'm going to call out three. One's like a Ben pick because it's very sad and it's not for everyone. But it's remarkable, and it's called Marshmallow. It's by an author, Victoria Hannon, who's based in Melbourne, and she had a book, her debut a few years ago, Kokomo, which is also like funny and brilliant and a bit obtuse and unafraid to be unambiguous about sexuality. Marshmallow works in that vein as well, but it's an evolution, and it's about a host of characters who are just completely obliterated by the devastating loss of life. It's the death of a child, and it's, you know, there are five I believe main characters who have a connection to this tragedy, and you get the voice of each of them, and you have a signpost moment, and it's not told in a linear way. You get it before and after, and you And it's not your grief story of old. It's like it's smart and funny and devastating in a way that just totally excites me. That's Marshmallow Victoria Hannon. And then of all of our Australian books, we kind of made a big short list, and as a group we decided a best debut of the year and a best book of the year. The best debut we gave to a book called Sunbathing by Isabel Beach. And Shanu, you just like taking an in-breath. It is armchair travel. It is therapy, and it is life. Joy. It is joy in a novel. What else would you say about it?
I don't know. I just say that I was transported. I felt like I was in Italy, and I felt like I was friends with those people, and I felt that I wish that I had those people in my life, in real life.
Yeah.
And when the book ended, I was just like, oh.
Read it again. Yeah. it's the character at the center of it, you don't even get her name, but she's had this horrific grief hanging over her, which is this like frozen her life in situ. And then she goes to not just Italy, but Abruzzo, the mountain regions, and stays in a villa with her friends who are about to get married. It's kind of like pendulum swings between deep introspection on her part and then like vivid conversation. And there's so much, you know, there's just so much silence and like living life. Yeah. And it's like a book on how to live life. It's just so inspired and brilliant and like brief and accessible and all the things. I just love it. And I can't wait for more from Isabel Beach. That's Sunbathing. And then after much conversation, we gave the best overall book for Australian writing to The Seven Skins of Esther Wilding by Holly Ringland. It is an extravaganza of a novel, this book. Holly Ringland is magical as a person, and she brings that magic to her writing. Her debut novel was The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, which has gone on to have an Amazon Prime adaptation. Holly's also been on Gardening Australia, and there's a program where she travels around with Aaron Peterson called Back to Nature. She is all about just the connection with the natural world, overcoming the unspeakable, like the bonds that women can just like have with one another and how they can lift each other up. And this book will take you from the coast of Tasmania to the Arctic Circle and back again. And it's like very over the top, and it's so accessible to the reader, but it also like gives what seems quite light on, gives you so much. It's also visually spectacular to look at as a book, and it's got it all. It's the whole package. So those are the real big call outs for fiction. And my goodness, it's been a hell of a year. To cap this off, we have a category which is beautiful books. And they're your books, Shanu. They're like the big, hefty lifestyle books. And like they suck to talk about on a podcast because
you can't see them.
You can't see them.
Do you know what I can do? I can direct you to our website where all of them are available for purchase. Because I really want to call out the book that I teased earlier in this podcast by linking it to Indira Naidoo's beautiful book, which was beautiful on the outside and on the inside. As actually quite a lot of these books are. I don't know if you haven't seen a real life copy of The Seven Skins of Esther Wilding, then you have not lived this year.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not in my category, so I won't talk about that anymore. But what I will say is Diego Boneta's Eat Weeds was stand out in terms of book design this year. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely stunning. It was also very hard when we did the signing because it is so delicate, but it is so worth it. And that's, you know, opposite of Weeds. Weeds, which are quite hardy, book was quite delicate, but absolutely worth it. So that's one of my most, that's like, I think the best design book this year. Just had every, like, all parts of the package for me. It just came together in Eat Weeds. There's a couple of other books I just want to very quickly mention that I highly recommend for both content, because it's not just, when I talk about a beautiful book, it's not just it looks beautiful, but it makes you feel things that make you feel beautiful.
Oh, I love that.
And I think that's what we all need more in our lives. So first one, Style, Natalie Walton, interiors book, gorgeous. That was from earlier this year. Second one is a book that I think every single person in Australia should have if they love art and if they're Australian, which if you're in Australia, you are, in my books. And it's called Dreaming the Land. Basically, it's the first time that it's like the first sort of really in-depth exploration of all of the biggest artists, both past and present, First Nations artists. And it's basically brings them all together in this insanely beautiful collection of this book, and super, super important, and I think everyone should have one. Mm. Very quickly, Cressida Campbell has an incredible exhibition of her life's work currently on at the National Gallery in Canberra. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
National Gallery.
National Gallery. It's what I saw it earlier this year, and it was stunning, and the book is equally stunning. Then Megan Hess, our most favouritest fashion writer, who does amazing kids' books as well, but she has done a beautiful book about Audrey Hepburn, who was a wonderful person, so win-win. And then the last book is my pick of probably just something that's just every single person that's walked past in the office has stopped, picked it up, looked through it and gone, oh, wow. And that is an interiors book by Arndt and Pike, who are award-winning interior design duo who have just an eye that I would kill for, because they just have a way of making all the spaces they design look like they've been there for a long time but are also super, super new.
Yeah, it's not one of those...
It's not cookie cutter
books. It's colourful.
Yeah.
It's really funky.
Yeah, it's so, so good. So they are my roundup of beautiful books.
That is exhausting and brilliant. All of these books are in one big page on our website. And I cannot encourage you enough to go and have a look now. Thank you all, and thank you, listener, for joining us. You can order all of these books. There's a link in the description from booktopia.com.au. If you enjoyed the show today, drop us a review, or wherever you are listening to our show, you can leave a review. Thank you for listening, and never stop reading.
Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Remember, all books mentioned in today's show can be found right now in the description, or head over to booktopia.com.au. We would also love to hear what you are reading, so feel free to follow Booktopia on any of your favourite social media platforms and join our book club. This will be our final podcast of 2022 as we head into the Christmas and New Year's break, so we would like to say thank you to all of our listeners who have tuned in over the course of the year. It has been a real privilege recording Season 2 of Tell Me What to Read. We will catch you at the end of January next year for Season 3 of Tell Me What to Read. But until then, thanks for listening, never stop reading, and have a wonderful holiday.